The following interview was recorded for CFRO The Pulse, Vancouver Co-op Radio's daily news show. The Pulse airs Monday to Friday at 7 a.m. on 100.5 FM and streaming live at cooperadio.org.
We are talking about Heart of the City Festival. It's the 17th annual festival focused on celebrating life and culture and arts in the downtown East Side. And on today's program, we're talking to the elder in residence of the festival for several years, Kat Norris. She is Coast Salish from Leaxin First Nation, and on her father's side is Nez Pearson. Kat, it's great to have you back on The Pulse here on Vancouver Cooperative Radio with us.
Thank you so much.
What does the Heart of the City Festival mean to you, Kat?
Oh, it brings the downtown East Side to life. You know, everyone knows it's happening. Unfortunately now, you know, not everyone can, you know, pop in or see it on video outside the Carnegie. You know, it's quite the struggle this year for everyone to, you know, bring it out to the people, and not everyone in the downtown East Side, you know, has a computer or a cell phone. But they know it's happening. They know what's happening.
And there are some events that people can attend in person as well with safe social distancing. So they've really tried really hard to give a bunch of options, it seems.
Yeah, and even, you know, Facebook kind of thing. And so I'm really impressed with, you know, the fervor with which they're trying to bring it out to the people. But what it means to me is, you know, bringing the downtown East Side to life and telling the story of many of those who live and work in the downtown East Side. And it employs a lot of people that have lived and grown in the downtown East Side, people who wouldn't normally have, you know, a venue or a voice or a stage, you know, with which to share their talent. You know, so that helped me as a younger person not to assume as well, you know. So it's really helped me to grow, to, you know, to lessen my tendency to assume about others based on how they're dressed or how they look or how they talk. And I've over the years, you know, I've developed many friendships, you know, for people that do live in the downtown East Side, learning that it is a community. And that's what the Heart of the City and the, you know, Terry and Savannah, Teresa, and all of those involved have wanted to bring out, you know, to that it is a vibrant community with, you know, highly talented, intelligent people.
For all the suffering that is here, there's also so much community and care and art and creation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. And one of the events that I organized, the Downtown East Side Fry Bread Giveaway, it was just a little thing. You know, someone asked me, can I take, you know, a couple from my friends? So, of course, I'm like, you know, it's like, is he going to give it to his friends, you know? But I didn't want to say no. So I said, okay, sure. And so he did. And it was just then that I was asked, okay, I'll be running out of baking powder. I said, okay, I'll run and grab some. So I had someone take my place. And I washed my hands, found my jacket, found my car keys, found my car, and I took off. I turned the corner, and I saw the same guy sitting with his friends, and they were all eating fry bread.
With smiles on their faces, I presume, because your fry bread is very delicious.
Thank you. I felt so emotional, you know, because, sorry. Sorry. I couldn't remember if previously I might have said no to someone. Oh, no, everyone, yeah, 6-1, we got to, you know, because I remember you saying that we got to make sure there's enough for everyone, because I wasn't sure, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then hearing other, you know, other volunteers, you know, replicating what I was saying, you know. Oh, no, you only get one. You know, how many times do we do that? From that moment, I went right back before I went to go get the, you know, the baking powder. And I said, hey, listen. If someone asks if they can take one for a friend, you let them take it.
That's such a Heart of the Downtown East Side story right there, that you hear those stories kind of all the time, these touching moments of connection, and you do run into the same people often. It's not a big neighborhood. There's only 16,000 people living here.
Yeah.
It's a small town.
It tells that story of generosity, you know, and of how everyone, you know, not everyone, but it tells the story about, you know, how people do help each other out. You know, they take care of each other. And, of course, there is the horror stories. But despite that, you know, it's still a, you know, it's still a thriving community in terms of, you know, those who are, you know, looking out for each other and taking care of each other and doing their best to survive in, you know, not such great and sometimes horrible situations.
Is there anything you're looking forward to, especially in the rest of the Heart of the City Festival this week?
Oh, I'm just looking forward to, you know, what I enjoy is, you know, watching some of the people grow in what they do. I enjoy that more than anything, watching those that are participating grow. And of course, I love the, you know, the cultural part of it. But, you know, what I wanted to say was, what I'm really proud of is, you know, our own Indigenous people and how the Heart of the City just welcomes them with open arms, makes sure that they're, you know, a visual part of this event, you know.
An integral part.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, we're not token participants in this event, you know. So, and the art, you know, I'm looking forward to the, you know, the artwork that's going to be, you know, around town, because it's just a simple thing, you know, but the pop-up art in the streets. Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what that's all about. You know, people are singing, and they enjoy what they do, and they're sharing it with the people.
Hmm.
There's so many things I want to check out.
Tell me about that event that you participated in, the Elders event, right at the, you know, near the very beginning of this year's festival.
It was the chat with the elders in residence. I have been the elder in residence for the Heart of the City for 3 years. I was invited by Terry and Savannah and Teresa. And so part of my role is to participate in the different events. I sometimes, along with Les Nelson, who is the Carnegie elder in residence, we will welcome the people, and I will do the acknowledgement to the people of this territory, and, you know, I'll share a few words, you know, just from my own experience, depending on what the event is.
I thought it was a great idea for an event, because we hear from elders, or we should, because, you know, any events we go to in our community should have acknowledgements and elders present as part of protocol, but we don't often hear, what does it take to become an elder, and what does that mean? What did you had to share about that at the event?
Well, I shared a little bit of my life story as a residential school survivor and intergenerational survivor. And, you know, I didn't share all my horror stories, but I do have horror stories. And, you know, in comparison to a lot of our people on the downtown east side and those that are still struggling, those are my stories. And I learned their stories as a result of, for one thing, you know, relative stories, another, having gone back to school and taking family and community counseling and learning how generalized our experience was. So I wasn't anyone in particular. And then after I graduated from Langara College Family Studies Diploma Program, I was invited to apply for a position with a joint project between UBC and Providence Healthcare, Aboriginal Youth Health Study. And whereas previously I was a First Nations school support worker, so, you know, I saw a lot of our students and families struggling and having the similar issues that I grew up with, to working with Aboriginal youth that are living in the struggle, you know, in the current day. And part of this study is you have to, you know, ask them to share their life story. And, you know, when they first start using, why, you know. And in that study, it showed that around 69-ish percent of them were impacted by relatives that were survivors of residential school. And, you know, so I shared my experience of my own life struggles, of not feeling good about myself. I hated being around. I hated myself because I was an abuse survivor, but blamed myself to working with, you know, working with people. But that came after getting counseling for myself. I got help for myself, but to become an elder wasn't something that I asked for, because, like I said, I was always immature for my age, you know. I always wanted to just have fun, you know, and just live my life. But as I became a parent, and then I became a grandparent, I had to settle down. I had to learn patience. I had to, you know, take my time with my grandkids. And it was more when I became a grandmother that I realized the importance of my role. And it all started with my son asking me if I could watch my granddaughter for 10 months during the day, because he's working and his partner wants to take a course. I was someone who told my friends, don't even ask me to babysit. I don't babysit. Yeah. And
here you're being asked to do 10 months. This is such a common story, too, of people having to work multiple jobs and just really feeling that strain. To ask someone to step in must have been hard for them to ask that.
Yeah, it was hard for them to ask that because they knew my stance. I wasn't, now my sons are grown. I can, you know, work. I can go to powwows. I can do this and that, take programs. So, you know, so I did offer that. And I was, you know, a grandmother in word only and, you know, wanting to help out. What I found each day was, you know, was she fully depended upon me. And I taught her colors. I taught her colors by, you know, oh, look at the red flower, red flower, and that's a purple. You know, she learned her colors while she was still a toddler.
It's interesting because you described, you know, being a grandmother in name only was not enough in and of itself without that responsibility and that teaching and that that relationship being more developed or fleshed out. Is that kind of like being an elder? And it's not just about being a certain age. It sounds like it's about the responsibilities that come.
Yeah, exactly. I think that was one word that I forgot to use tonight. It's a responsibility. Now I want to do it all over again. But yeah, it is, because, you know, a lot of us that are called or accept the role of elder, you know, people forget that we're human beings. You know, we live our lives, you know, we lose our patience. I'm probably one of the older elders that swear when I'm driving, you know. I'm not a perfect person. But why I accepted this role is because it's not what I need, but it's what people need. People need someone who knows their life, who understands them, who sees them, because we do, as people who have had this, their same, you know, parallel experience in life. You know, it's not a magic thing. It's just that we've lived our lives and we know people, we see people, we see them when they're struggling because we see ourselves.
At the heart of the city this year, there is such an attention to that intersections, and they have one event that's looking at drumming, Irish and Indigenous drumming traditions. There's other events looking at redress for the Chinese Canadian community and what was done to it. It's such a powerful opportunity.
Yeah, it's a powerful opportunity for, you know, all nations to understand and to learn. But I see it, because I'm Indigenous, it's almost especially important to our people, you know, to experience the same type of learning that I did, you know, about other cultures. you know, who experienced what we did, you know, that we all need to learn to work together and understand each other against, you know, the oppressors, but maybe not so much against the oppressors, but against their own assumptions.
We often hear people talk about elders being so important in their lives. I've never heard or at least asked an elder what it means for you to be an elder. What do you get out of that relationship and that responsibility to work with people who are looking to you for guidance or education or trust?
Well, it's fulfilling when you are able to help someone or when you're able to say the right words to a group. And sometimes you don't even know what you said, but you just start talking, you know, you know, that when they come up to you and thank you, you know, you can see in their eyes, they're holding their hands, you know, in front of their chests, so they're so thankful. Then, you know, what it is for me that I'm thankful for what I've learned, because I don't pretend that I am, you know, the total knowledge keeper. It's what I've learned. And it's, you know, sometimes if I'm not feeling all that great, or if my self-esteem isn't all that great, you know, today, you know, the night before the full moon, I struggle with stress, you know. And it's pressure, you know, it's pressure, because sometimes during those times of my own inner duress, you know, I feel pressure to say the right thing. Am I going to say the right thing? How am I going to help these people? How am I going to help this person sitting in front of me that needs my guidance? You know, my mother's teaching, you know, that the words will come out. Just relax and don't, you know, feel that you have to even say anything. Just listen. So the listening is the magic in those situations.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
Before we let you go, Kat, we had you on to talk about this huge mask-making enterprise. You had people sewing masks. Since we talked a few months ago, Dr. Bonnie Henry, a provincial health officer, has now issued guidance that people should wear masks whenever they're in a public indoor place. Have you had a big uptick in masks? Are you still doing that?
Yeah, we're still doing that. And I see people wearing these masks all around town. So, you know, it shows me that it's, you know, we're making a difference. The ones that are volunteering, they would come out every day if they could to help out. And so now we've got, they've given out, you know, a good number of the masks. So we're going to continue. We've got a big batch happening right now. And so the big batch that we're going to finish, we'll bring it upstairs. And they divide it up into different sizes and bag them up. And what we're going to do next is make bags. So, because a lot of people, you know, in the downtown east side just need a little bag to keep their things, you know. So that's what we're going to do next.
Well, that's great. Ballpark, just a guess, how many masks do you think you've made and so far?
Let's see, probably more than 1,000.
Wow. If somebody needs a mask and doesn't know where to find one or can't afford one, how do people get connected with you is this through one organization?
Yeah, they can call 604-254-9060.
Great. Well, thank you for doing that and also for your support and presence at Heart of the City as well, year after year.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Enjoy the festival. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you. Thanks so much, Kat.
Thank you too, David.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And that was Kat Norris, the elder in residence at the Heart of the City Festival. It runs this week until Sunday. Find out about the events. You can attend in person or virtually on many of them at heartofthecityfestival.com.
CFRO The Pulse is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, a program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.